I always say when you're capturing a family or a couple or a wedding day or children, you're capturing the connection between multiple people. So you're posing people together and you're connecting them on camera. When you're photographing a senior by themselves, you don't have that. When you're photographing a senior by themselves, you have to capture confidence, but you have to be the one to instill the confidence. There's no connection to capture where they're feeling comfortable because they're snuggled up to their spouse. You're having to make them feel confident enough to capture the confidence on camera. And when you're in that beginner phase, you barely know how your camera works. It's very hard to communicate that confidence and kind of project that onto your client.
Hey, welcome to the Beginner Photography Podcast brought to you by CloudSpot, the all-in-one solution for photographers like yourself to deliver and even sell your photos online. I'm your host, as always, Raymond Hatfield, and today we got a good one for you. We are chatting with senior photographer Hope Taylor about what is the roadmap to becoming a master senior photographer. So we cover everything in this episode, from, you know, what is it like? What does it look like to be a beginner senior photographer, a weekend warrior senior photographer, full-time senior photographer, and a master senior photographer as well? There's so much in this episode. Honestly, you need to get like two notepads and maybe two pens ready or two pencils. Like, be sure to get that pencil sharpener ready because you're going to be, setting that notepad on fire with how fast you're going to be writing. As I look down here at my notes from this episode, 14. I wrote down 14 different moments that stood out to me. So much going on in this one. And Hope does not disappoint. Hope Taylor, she's been on the podcast before. She has a lot going on in terms of not only shooting, but also educating as well. She has one of those helpful hearts where she loves to share with others and, see others thrive and take the information that she has learned and help you to, reach your goals as well. So every time I watch a video from her on YouTube, I learn something, even if it's something that I already know about, which is always great. And like I said, she's an amazing senior photographer and educator, makes it very easy to approach and understand as well. So if you are thinking about getting into senior photography, be sure to check out Hope, her YouTube channel, her Instagram. I got links to all that stuff in the show notes as well. And even if you're not a senior photographer, what Hope shares today is a really practical look at starting like the different phases of a business. So, what she talks about is almost essentially the same for any sort of portrait photography, any sort of, wedding photography, as well as senior photography. So again, so much. And at the end, she has quite the gift to give you all. So without any further ado, let's go ahead and get on into this interview with Hope Taylor. When did you know that photography for you was going to be an important role in your life? I know that you got into it early, but like, when did it turn from, hey, this is fun, to, oh, this is going to be a thing for me?
I love this question because I always joke that I loved entrepreneurship first and photography second. Like, I'm just kind of an entrepreneur that happens to be good at photography. So it took a while for it to sink in that photography was going to be the thing for me. I always loved it, but I would say when I decided to go full time and revoked my college admission to the school I was planning on going to was the moment that I realized, okay, this is it for me. This isn't a side hobby, little fun thing. This is going to be the thing. And I think that's when it really started to shift.
What goes into that decision to say, you know what, like, how confident were you that photography was going to be the thing? Like, were you already making money with it by that point, right?
I was. So yeah, 2 years of fighting with your parents goes into making that decision. No, just kidding. I started my business my junior year of high school. Accidentally, like, it was really just a hobby. And then my minimum wage job got very boring and I started doing it more frequently and more regularly. And so my senior year is really when I started to take it seriously. But at that time, it was still just kind of a high school job in my brain. But I was working hard to make it a lucrative high school job. And by the time the end of my senior year rolled around, I was making enough money where it was a serious thing for me to consider. And so lots of conversations with my parents, lots of middle ground compromise and figuring out what the day to day was going to look like. And there was a semester there where I did local community college and thought that it was still going to just be a side job while I went to school. And I really went truly full time after that semester. So there was lots of back and forth, lots of compromise, lots of figuring out how practical it really was before we, meaning my parents and I, because I was 17, took the leap to make that decision. So lots of back and forth, but it was the best decision I've ever made in retrospect.
Right. I'm always interested in like, so making that decision, for one, you have to get to that point, right, to make that decision, but also I feel like there's so many life things going on right now today. Obviously you're focused on senior photography. Like, was there ever a thought that like, hey, maybe as I get older and I don't have friends who are seniors, maybe how do I continue to get in front of seniors, or what was that like?
So that really wasn't at the time. My thought process was that the end all be all was wedding photography. That was really when I was a senior, I was photographing seniors just because they were naturally my peers. And it kind of came full circle now that I'm 10 years in and it became my specialty. But at the time I was like, oh, this is my segue to get to where the big money is to actually make this a career. And that's in weddings. And that's just because that's what I saw everyone doing. That's what I saw everybody charging a lot of money for. And it was the scalable career worthy option in my brain. So at the time, that wasn't even a thought, because it wasn't going to be that I would be photographing seniors in 10 years. It was that I'm trying to get to the wedding world and get comfortable enough with my camera to be brave enough to photograph someone wedding that's 20 years older than me. And so that wasn't really a thought then. And I think that now that I'm 10 years in, I definitely have had to shift how I market, because I'm obviously very far removed from that world of being in the senior year. But it definitely wasn't a thought back then, which is actually kind of funny to look back on.
Yeah. It's like, my son always has all these crazy ideas, you know, that, I take that back. They're not crazy, but it's clear that he doesn't have the life experience because he's 10, you know, that these ideas aren't fully thought out.
Sure.
Think back to when I was in high school and how many not fully thought out ideas that I had as well.
100%. 100%. This was definitely one of those for quite a while.
So why did you decide to continue to focus on seniors rather than, I mean, make weddings the thing for you?
Yeah. So I did make weddings the thing for a while. So I don't remember exactly what year this was. It was probably 2016, 2017. So about a year or two into being truly full time. And I was still in the like, weddings is the goal. Weddings is the number one priority. And I needed something to pause. I had so much going on. I was kind of breaking into the education space at the time. So I was juggling photographing weddings, engagement sessions, and seniors, all of the editing and of course, front end work that comes along with that. And then I was simultaneously hosting workshops and mentoring. I had a studio space. I was trying to get into the online course space. And I was juggling so many balls and I was dropping all of them because I was just way in over my head. And I knew something had to change. I needed a break somewhere. And I decided to take a break from seniors. So that year, I actually completely stopped booking seniors with the thought process that I ultimately wanted to be a wedding photographer anyway. And so I kind of did it quietly. If I got inquiries, I pointed them to a friend. It wasn't really something I ever announced, but in that year, and I actually don't think I've ever told her this, but my friend Caitlin James, I ran into her at a conference and completely unprompted, she was like, "This is so random. And I don't know why I feel like I need to tell you this, but seniors are your thing and you're really good at them. And every time I see your senior work, it's phenomenal. Don't stop doing those, because a lot of people stop doing what they started with. Don't stop doing those. Like, that's your thing." And she was like, "Okay, and have a good day." And like, unprompted, just like random. And I think her and I have been friends for a long time. And I think she probably noticed I was posting less of them. And so she just like felt the need to mention it. And that shifted in my brain, because I was like, wait, I've never thought about it like that. I've just always viewed weddings as the end all be all. And I've never had somebody say like, that was your thing and you're good at that thing. And it just kind of clicked something in my brain where I was like, oh shoot, I think I'm on the wrong track. And a year later I got back into seniors and now that's my bread and butter. I don't do weddings anymore. So.
Oh, that is so funny. Caitlin James works in mysterious ways for sure. Doesn't she?
She does. She's a magician. She really does.
When, Focusing just on the photography side for a moment, you know, you said that you always saw yourself more as an entrepreneur and then the photographer kind of second. But obviously there's a lot of technical, you know, things that you need to know about photography. Was that a challenge for you to learn? Did you feel like this is just part of the entrepreneurial, journey that I'm on, or, much do you envision the images that you're going for? That was a very roundabout question. I apologize.
No, it wasn't. It makes total sense. So I took a photojournalism class as a sophomore in high school. So this kind of ignited the passion for photography, because despite the fact that I consider myself more of an entrepreneur and loving business, it's definitely still something I'm really passionate about and really love. So I learned the technical basics in that class from a super technical, very like almost sterile perspective, like not the creative side at all. Just like, here's how a camera works. We had a dark room. Like, we developed film. Like, it was all very, very like technical. But I found it very interesting. So I went into my junior year kind of continuing doing photography with the technical kind of baseline already established. So I never really remember struggling with that side. I practiced all the time. I'm very much, I'm an Enneagram 3. So I hate being bad at things. I'm very bad at being bad at things. And so I just wanted to get good at it. I just wanted to feel comfortable with it. And so I practiced all the time, pictures of my dog, pictures of flowers, pictures of raindrops on grass, the typical, you know, thing. So I don't ever remember struggling a ton with the technical side, because I just kind of made it my whole personality for a while and like figured it out. Looking back, the biggest thing I struggled with was posing. I had a really hard time communicating posing and having to take what was in my brain, because I was totally envisioning what I wanted, but communicating that to my client and having to be like in charge of my friends that I was photographing at the time was a super weird shift for me. And that, you almost don't think about that as technical as shutter speed and lenses and focal length, but it was for me, because it was the part that I couldn't communicate well to get my vision to come to life. So that is the part that actually took the most practice for me.
I'm going to write that down. Took the most to bring vision to life. That is a big part of it that I don't think, as you said, I don't think that a lot of people truly understand how much goes into a great photo of a person that's not related to the camera at all. You know, just making them feel comfortable. And then even on your end, just as you said, envisioning what it is, but now how do you communicate to get them to get there? So that is big. I appreciate you sharing that for sure. How did you get over that? Like, how did you learn that side of it then?
Yeah, it was a lot of, and I don't even remember watching tutorials. Like, I want to say that it was a lot of learning, but it was really just a lot of getting out there and forcing myself to figure it out, because I also have anxiety. I'm a very like, not socially anxious person, because I'm very extroverted, but the like power dynamic, which sounds so weird, of me being bossy to one of my high school friends who like was probably already thinking, who does this girl think she is that she's starting a business when she's like 5 years old? And so it just felt weird to me to be like bossing them around, which is not what I was doing, but it's what it felt like. It just felt strange. And so I think for me, it was shifting that perspective from, I'm not like bossing them around and telling them what to do. It's my job to make them feel comfortable. That's what I'm doing, is I'm just making them feel comfortable. Sometimes at the expense of making myself feel silly, but it's my job to make them feel comfortable. And when that started to become a compliment I received at shoots was, you made me feel so comfortable. It was so easy. And that started to be a reason people liked to shoot with me. I think it just kind of naturally shifted my confidence level, which is really what I think the problem was my confidence as a photographer in communicating, because there's such a big difference in like, okay, I think what I want you to do is maybe put your hand on your hip and then maybe put your other hand on your face. That is not confident. That is going to make your client feel awkward and feel uncomfortable. But just saying, okay, what I'm looking for is, let's do something like this and something like this, and actually demonstrating and just straight telling them, instead of being like, maybe kind of, that all of a sudden you're not being bossy, but you're communicating in a way that makes them feel comfortable. And I think that confidence shift slowly but surely made me feel a little bit more comfortable with that side of things.
That's funny. My wife is a Enneagram 3 as well. And I can attest to the need to master anything that you set out to do and every single aspect of it. And it's funny because I can hear my wife saying those exact words right there. So
yes, your wife and I would get along well.
I know for sure. So Hope, you know, one of the big reasons why I brought you on today was because, as you said, not only are you a master at senior photography in this world, but you're also an educator. And there's a lot of listeners who are also into senior photography. And despite being called the Beginner Photography Podcast, we kind of have listeners of all ranges, right? People come in and then they just kind of stick around for a long time. I've been thinking about the journey of being a photographer for a while, and I've kind of narrowed it down to there are four stages. And this is kind of really four stages of anything. There's those who are newly aware of something. Mm-hmm. There's those who are aware of this thing and now they're trying it. There's those who are trying the thing and now they're growing it. And then there's those who are growing it and now they are thriving. So this would be complete beginner, weekend warrior, full-time, and then master photographer, right? So kind of what I wanted to do today is, because you have been all four of those steps, so I thought, how great would it be to have you kind of break down where, like, what each one of those steps looks like and kind of what the main struggles is? So my question here, I guess, for you is, in the world of senior photography, what does a complete beginner look like, and from a photographic standpoint and from a business standpoint? Because senior photography, typically you don't get into it just for fun. There's kind of the expectation that you're going to do it for a as a business.
Sure. Yeah. Well, first of all, what a compliment to be called a master senior photographer. Thank you for that. That's so kind.
That came from Caitlin James. You heard her yourself. She said,
"Oh my gosh. Oh my gosh. You're sweet." Okay. From a complete beginner perspective, when I think of a complete beginner, I think about 17-year-old Hope, who, like we kind of have already briefly talked about, went in with a very vague understanding of a camera, but really nothing else. When I'm talking about the photography side of a complete beginner, I'm picturing somebody who is YouTubing and Google University-ing their way through understanding their camera in manual mode. That is going to be number one. That's really your number one priority as a complete beginner photographer in any niche. So this is not going to be senior world specific, but you are completely needing to understand your camera and manual from the top down. What each setting does, how it affects your lighting, how it affects your shutter speed, how it affects your depth of field, all of the basics from a technical perspective, you're starting to learn. And we'll talk a bit about how that advances in the kind of the next phase, but you're really struggling. For me, like I mentioned, I think struggling with authority, struggling with being able to confidently communicate to a client. And I think that that's specific to seniors because that is such a huge part of photographing clients by themselves. And that's a very like underrated challenge in the senior world is, I always say, when you're capturing a family or a couple or a wedding day or children, you're capturing the connection between multiple people. So you're posing people together and you're connecting them on camera. When you're photographing a senior by themselves, you don't have that. You don't, and it's not that it's a crutch, because it's not. Photographing anything is difficult, but when you're photographing a senior by themselves, you have to capture confidence, but you have to be the one to instill the confidence. There's no connection to capture where they're feeling comfortable because they're snuggled up to their spouse. You're having to make them feel confident enough to capture the confidence on camera. And when you're in that beginner phase, you barely know how your camera works. It's very hard to communicate that confidence and kind of project that onto your client. So for me, and I think that's probably me projecting my personal struggles from the beginning, but that I think is a big struggle of beginner senior photographers, is the posing element, because it is so intimidating to do just one-on-one with a person who's in high school and feels way cooler than you by default. And you have to tell them what to do and how to pose and make them feel comfortable. So I think from a photography kind of technical perspective, those are the biggest struggles. That's kind of what I think of when I think of a beginner senior photographer. When it comes from the business angle, I'm thinking of somebody who really hasn't even gotten to that point in thinking about things like consistency or contracts or client experience or booking systems. We haven't even gotten there yet because we're still trying to figure out the right way to deliver a finished photo. Do we do it on Google Drive? Do I do it in a gallery? What gallery websites are there? How much does that cost? What do I need to charge for that? We have so many questions about the technical side that we haven't even really gotten to the business side. It's really still those technical questions that are related to business, if that makes sense. Like, what editing softwares do I need to download and how much do those cost? How much time is that going to take me? How do I deliver these photos to my customer? What does high resolution mean? And how do I make sure they can be print worthy? It's a lot of technical questions, both on the front and the back end.
Wow. What a breakdown. Would you say that the beginners in senior photography are those who are at this point, from a business standpoint, just shooting friends or family or things like that? They're not actively searching for clients at this point, right?
Typically, that's kind of what comes to my mind. What I was doing in that phase was photographing a lot of my peers. And if they gave me a tip on the way out, I was so grateful. But it was really in more of a like a model call phase where I was like posting like, hey, if you want me to take your pictures, I'm available on Saturday. But I wasn't really expecting money. I was doing it for the purpose of practice. So for me personally in that phase, I wasn't charging anything. I was really just trying to get people in front of my camera for the sake of getting more comfortable with it.
As somebody who said that you started off, you know, knowing that you were an entrepreneur, did that kill you inside to do something and not do it for money?
I think it did sometimes. I think I did this process on like an accelerated timeline. So I was photographing peers daily. Like, I wasn't doing this for a year where I wasn't being paid for a year. Wow. I probably spent 2 to 3 months maybe where I was truly trying to photograph somebody as many days out of the week as I possibly could. And I could do that because I was in high school. So that's an important caveat, is like, I didn't have a family or a full-time job. This was all I had to do in my spare time. But I kind of accelerated that process. So I think the disclaimer here is that obviously that is not sustainable. And I think that everybody deserves to be paid for their time. But I do think there's something to be said for giving yourself the freedom to mess up and giving yourself the freedom to learn, so that you can be better and feel confident enough to charge what you're worth versus like charging $20 and dealing with the back and forth of all of that. It can just almost be more stressful in my experience.
Oh, of course. Absolutely. Because once you introduce money into something, there's so much more of an expectation. And when you're still trying to figure out who you are behind the camera, that puts a lot of, stress on you, a lot of stress.
So sure.
You did this for a number of months. And then is that when you started charging for your work?
It is. Yes. So then I kind of moved into charging consistently for my work. I think I actually on my Time Hop app, where it does the throwback to like 10 years ago, 8 years ago, it still pops up every year. And I don't remember what month it is, but it pops up and I posted on Facebook and I was like, I'm going to start doing sessions now. And it's $50 for a senior session, $75 for couples. And I don't know, families maybe is what I put. And if you want to work with me, let me know. And that was kind of the caveat of what started. It was just a Facebook post. That was the extent of my professionalism at that point. But that was kind of the beginning of the shift where I started charging for my time.
So that's when you start to move from beginner to weekend warrior. So at this point, you've done a real good job kind of figuring out what those technicals are, those technical basics, the aperture, sure, things like what editing software you need. Now, what does it look like to be that weekend warrior? What does it look like from the photography standpoint and the business standpoint? And what's different for them?
Yeah. So I think that the biggest thing from a photography standpoint that shifts is now we're not focused on learning. We have a basic understanding, but now we're focused on consistency. And that becomes the biggest challenge is, okay, we know how the camera works. We maybe 60 to 70% of the time are producing the result that we're wanting, but there's still that like 30 to 40% of the time where we're put in a weird lighting situation and we just can't get it right. Or we're editing an image and we can't figure out why it's fuzzy, or something goes wrong technically and we're still trying to navigate. So the biggest problem or thing that we're trying to focus on from a technical perspective is consistency, because we know that we can charge more for consistency. We know the more consistent our work looks, the more our signature style looks, the easier editing becomes, but we're still kind of working on figuring out how to get that consistency 98% of the time. Never 100%. That's just not realistic. But 95 to 98% is what we're aiming for here.
Solid rate.
Yes, exactly. So we're looking for more consistency, but you still have some off days, still some technical things that you're kind of navigating. But from a business perspective, this has become more of the focus. Now we're kind of comfortable on the photography side enough that we have the mental capacity to shift and spend 60% of our mental time thinking about business. That's kind of the shift that happened for me in this phase is, okay, if I'm going to be charging money, now there needs to be not necessarily this full thought out experience, but there needs to be consistency in what it looks like to work with me. What's step one? What's step two? What's step three? And how can I streamline that so that it makes my life easy, but also feels professional? I think that's probably the word to sum it up, is I wanted it to start to feel professional and not so much like a friend giving me $50, but more like a business. So for me on the business side, that looked like establishing pricing. And establishing those prices on a website. That was kind of the next step for me. I learned very quickly the hard way that if you communicate your pricing over Facebook or in a Facebook message, people take that as negotiable. Like if somebody messages me and is like, how much do you charge for a senior? And I say $50, they say, what about $25? But if they say, how much do you charge for a senior session? And I say, you can find my prices on my website here. And I send them a link. For some reason, something in their brain finds that more concrete and more solidified, and they stopped trying to negotiate with me.
Wow.
And so that was a step that was big for me. It was creating, and at first I am pretty positive it was just a singular page that housed my pricing and some of my portfolio that eventually evolved into a website with a homepage and an about page and all of those things. But you're thinking more about those things, about, okay, how do I streamline this? How do I make it feel more professional? Oh crap, I probably need a contract. We're thinking more about these steps of the process when it comes to client experience and less about the photography side, because we've kind of already mastered that side of things. So now we're thinking about those systems and getting them in place and making things feel more professional. So those were kind of the shifts that were happening in my brain then. And it was really a matter of figuring it out as I went. Like I didn't have a plan of like, okay, step one of my business plan is we're going to figure out the legal side. And step two is we're going to figure out the client system. That didn't exist. I was figuring it out as it went. Like if somebody asked me, do I need to sign a contract? I'd be like, oh crap, probably. And then I would go find a contract that I could use. And then if somebody was like, can I pay you online? I'd be like, should probably set up a PayPal account. Don't even know if I can do that when I'm 17. But I was really figuring it out as I went. But those were the questions and the challenges that I was facing then.
Wow. So before we move on to what a full-time senior photographer looks like, I want to know, how do you decide, that something is worth pursuing? Like, oh, do I need a contract? I mean, obviously, can I pay you online? I mean, that makes sense. But like, at what point do you say to yourself, this is a distraction? Are you ready to transform your love for photography into profit? Imagine capturing beautiful moments while bringing in a little extra money for your family each month. Sound too good to be true? With CloudSpot, it's not just a dream. Designed by photographers for photographers, CloudSpot simplifies your business. Effortlessly organize shoots, send professional contracts, questionnaires, invoices, and enjoy faster payment payouts with the lowest fees in the industry, including PayPal. Forget lost emails and messy spreadsheets. CloudSpot offers a streamlined workflow, letting you focus on the moment. And here is the clincher. Grab your free CloudSpot account at deliverphotos.com and you'll get access to my personal wedding and portrait contracts and questionnaires. So don't let uncertainty hold you back. Embrace the future of photography business management with CloudSpot Studio. Sign up at deliverphotos.com today and transform your passion into profit.
Sure. So that's a great question. I think for me, it always kind of boiled down to what I wanted to do and the things that made me excited, which is really probably not the efficient way to make decisions. But when you're 17, 18 years old, that's the efficient way you're making decisions. But I also think there's something to be said for your gut reaction when you own a business and just kind of trusting your instincts. Like I vividly remember I had somebody ask if they could sit down with me to talk about ordering their prints and products. And I was like, because I don't do in-person sales. That's just not something I've ever desired to do. And I remember I vividly was like, I don't want to do that. And this just feels like it's going to be a meeting that's going to take hours and nothing's going to come of it because I don't know what I'm doing. And I very reluctantly did it anyway, and nothing came of it. And it was a waste of 2 hours and she didn't buy anything. And that was kind of a moment for me where I was like, okay, I don't have to do everything. Just because somebody asks, I can say no, I can try it. I would try things once most of the time just to see if it, if anything came of it. But for me, it was really focusing on, and I, now I call it closing Apple Watch rings. Like that's kind of how I refer to this, but I was really trying to kind of complete projects before I moved on to something else. So I tried to really stay focused on one thing at a time, and not venture too far outside of something that was going to take my time away from what I knew was going to make the biggest impact at the time.
I see. I don't know what that's like. I'm always starting something new and trying to figure something. I don't finish nearly anything that I start. It is definitely one of my flaws, for sure. But I appreciate the breakdown because you know, trusting your gut is so important, and it's hard in this world of so many different things to try and different social media apps and techniques and presets. You know, how do you make a decision? And sometimes it's your gut. You gotta listen to that. So let's go ahead and move on then from weekend warrior to full time, because that description that you just gave of a weekend warrior sounded to me like full time. So I'm really excited to hear what it sounds like or what it looks like to be a full time photographer. So just to recap, weekend warrior, you're working on the as far as the business goes, you're trying to figure out what does the process look like. Working with me. And from a photography standpoint, it is, let me continue to increase my hit rate for images that I get versus images that I miss. Okay. So what does full-time look like as a senior photographer?
Yeah. And I think part of being a weekend warrior too is refining your style. I think we skipped over that a little bit because we mentioned consistency, but not from an editing perspective. So I think that's another huge part of the weekend warrior that we just finished talking about, is making sure that you're getting consistency in your editing as well and refining what you want that to look like and aiming for consistency there. I think with senior photography, it's also important to mention weekend warrior is going to sound like a lot because the client experience for seniors is so much shorter than weddings. Like there's not nearly as much involved. And so it's shorter and easier to figure out than it would be for a wedding photographer. But for a full-time senior photographer, and I actually wrote this out ahead of time, but I view full-time as somebody whose style is mostly mastered and you're aiming for closer to that 80 to 90% consistency, because now we're focusing on consistency in bookings. Now our consistency with our work is enough and powerful enough and consistent enough that we can focus on scaling through consistent bookings, because now we've got the work done. That's kind of like a closed Apple Watch ring, right? Like the work is done. Photography is consistent from a shooting perspective and an editing perspective. We have a style that is maybe not recognizable yet, but you know that you can produce work that looks the same time and time again in any lighting situation. This is when we're going to start to invest in maybe better gear than we've had before. Maybe we had invested in one lens, but now we're going to invest in a lineup of them. Or maybe we had an older camera body. Now we're going to get the newest version. We're kind of growing and scaling and focusing more on consistency in bookings than consistency in our work. And from a business perspective, we are booking more consistently. We have systems in place. So we have a CRM in place. We have our contracts in place. We know our payment schedules. We have a website now built out at this point. So now our biggest business focus is the marketing side. Like, okay, how are we going to now sell our services in a way that are bringing in bookings consistently enough that this is lucrative, that this is full-time? Obviously, if we're going full-time, now we have enough time to do that. We're not so much focusing on the inward parts of the business, like the editing workflows and the contracts. We're focusing on the outward parts of the business, like how are we presenting this online? What does our brand look like on social media? What are ways that we can be getting in front of vendors or getting in front of local businesses, boutiques, hair and makeup artists? Because networking does also exist in the senior world, which some people seem not to believe or to think about, but it does. And I also put that one of the biggest struggles and the biggest business side of things that we're focusing on is setting boundaries. Because for me in that season of my business, that was when I was in way over my head because my work's consistent. I'm excited about it. I maybe haven't raised my prices to where they should be yet. So I'm getting more inquiries than I can handle. And I'm trying to do marketing, but now I'm in over my head and I'm working 24/7, which is the opposite of the point of working for yourself. So starting to almost not take steps back, but kind of retroactively figure out where boundaries need to be set so that we're working a manageable amount of time and not working 24/7.
What did those boundaries look like for you? Like, did you just make sure that you would leave at 5 p.m. every day or was there more to that than that?
So I think that the biggest, there was a few, the biggest one was that I stopped giving out my personal cell phone number. When I wasn't in the professional realm of things yet, that was a really easy thing to do for seniors because that's what they do is they spend most time on their phone. And, that very quickly got out of hand. So stopped passing out my personal phone number, set very clear business hours. And I also set boundaries on how many shoots I took per week. Now I'm at the point that I only shoot 2 days per week and it's only Tuesdays and Thursdays. Back then those boundaries weren't as harsh, but just making sure that I was setting parameters so that I wasn't working. It's just so easy when you switch into that full time to be like, I need to make as much money as possible. I'm going to do literally everything I can at the expense of my sanity and my physical health, even sometimes, that it's really important to be like, okay, but wait, no, if we are not priced high enough that we can maintain our business without having to do that, then we need to make some changes, set some boundaries and increase our prices. So just kind of figuring out what that work-life balance really looks like, I think is a huge part of that going full-time phase.
That's so important. Before we move on, can you briefly talk about pricing a bit, specifically the mentality of pricing? Because I know for those who are looking to get into senior photography, maybe they are in that beginner phase. Pricing is quite the beast, right? And as you just alluded to, you need to charge enough to be able to live your life and have that time freedom. So could you talk about the mindset there?
Sure. So I think in the senior world, there are two kind of thought systems or pricing systems that you can really choose from. That's being very generalized. There's definitely more than that. But I think from a general perspective, there's two thoughts. One is to include digitals in your packages. And be priced higher because of that. Option two is in-person sales. You don't include digitals in your packages. You sell your digital images or you do in-person sales for prints and products. So your sitting fee or your shooting fee is lower, but you make more money after the session. For me, option one, including digitals, means that you prefer to shoot more. You like the volume of actually shooting. You prefer the photography side. And so you would rather shoot more and make the same amount of money as somebody who prefers the selling side and the print and product side and is going to charge more per session, but also spend way more time per session. So to me, it's a trade-off of really your personal preference. That's always what it's boiled down to me. I've always preferred shooting more. I would rather shoot one or two additional sessions a week than do 2 hours at a print and product meeting and then have to order those prints and products and then check the prints and products and repackage them and ship them. That's just not the process that I preferred. To me, it really boils down to making the same amount of money. It just really comes down to personal preference and what you enjoy. So I always have included digitals in my packages. You can still sell prints and products on the back end and your digital gallery. That's a whole different conversation. But I started at $50, as I mentioned, but very quickly went up to the $150 range, which I think if you're in the beginner photographer phase where you are like brand new, still learning, but you want to start charging for your time, $150 is an awesome place to start for an hour-long senior session. Don't stay there long because that's obviously not lucrative or scalable. And my kind of rule of thumb was every 3 sessions I booked, I increased my prices $100 until I got to a spot where I was booking the number of sessions that I wanted to book consistently. So for me, that was kind of a process of supply and demand. Like if I'm getting way more inquiries than I either care to shoot or am capable of shooting, I'm going to increase my prices until the number of inquiries I'm getting matches the amount that I want to be shooting. And that typically ends up landing somewhere in like the $450 to $550 range for me, or when I was in the weekend warrior phase, I'd say I was in the 450 to 550 range. When I was in the full-time range, it was more like 650 to 950. Now I'm closer to 1500 plus, but, I was raising my prices anytime I felt like I was getting more inquiries than I could book, or that naturally the expenses of my business became higher. I was in a season where I had more experience. There's lots of reasons to raise your prices, but that's kind of what the trajectory looked like for me.
Wow, that was a complete roadmap right there. And I appreciate that. I know that listeners are going to appreciate that as well.
Well, it felt like a brain dump. So I'm glad that you thought it was a roadmap. That makes me feel pretty good.
No, it did. Well, again, it's one of those things. How do you know when to raise your prices? You answered that. How do you know where to start off? You answered that. How do you know when you've topped out? You know, you answered that as well. So no, it did. It was like a roadmap. So that was wonderful.
Well, thank you.
In fact, I literally wrote down here on my notes, pricing roadmap. So that's exactly what it was. Yeah.
Awesome. Love it. Thank you.
Before we move on to the next phase, the master photographer phase, where you're at right now, I want to know, can you tell me, like, so many people are envisioning going full time, like, what, imagine all of the great things that is going to bring to their life, not having to go to the office. Can you tell me maybe your first week of saying to yourself, like, this is my job, I'm a full time photographer. Like, what was that like?
Yeah. Oh my gosh. I remember it being so freeing. For me, just to like paint the picture, my dad's caveat to me not going away to college, which for reference, I had committed to a college. He had already paid a lot of dollars to that college because I'm very, very lucky that my parents were willing to do that for me. I had a roommate, I had classes I signed up for. I dropped out of my college about 2 weeks before I was supposed to move in. So it's just important detail. And so when I decided to do that, my dad basically said, I will support you in staying home, but I still want you to pursue your education. So the negotiation or the compromise here is that you'll go to community college classes. And so I was doing a full college course load for the first time. So experiencing what college course load felt like. Plus, I was in a season where I had just started booking weddings for the first time and was doing workshops and had a studio space. And I was just drowning. Like, it truly felt like I was drowning. I have a vivid memory of having a meltdown to my poor, sweet community college English professor because she told me if I missed class for a workshop I had signed up for and spent a lot of money on, that she was going to fail me because it was the final exam day, even though I had like a 98 in her class. And I just had a meltdown. So the moment that my dad agreed to give me, at the time it was just one semester off, I just remember being like, I've never had the ability to focus 100% of my attention on my business. And I don't know what that's going to feel like or look like, but I knew I wanted to go into it with a plan. And so I just remember I had really thought through, okay, if I wake up at 10 a.m. and because at the time I was still sleeping till 10 a.m. because I was a teenager. If I sleep until 10 a.m. and I work until 6 p.m., here's how I'm going to use that time to actually move the needle and like make more money because I have to make it lucrative. The agreement was if you can make enough money to make it lucrative, you don't have to go back to school. And so that was my plan. And I just kind of went into it with a plan. And I just remember feeling so free and like a bajillion pounds had been lifted. That very quickly shifted into overwhelm when I got it in way over my head. But that initial feeling of freedom is just so huge.
I feel bad for that English teacher for sure, because that is quite the predicament to be in. My goodness.
Oh, she didn't know what hit her. I felt bad for her too. I felt so bad.
Oh, that's funny. Okay. So sticking on the full-time aspect of it for just a moment, you had spoke about the importance of the marketing element, right? Mm-hmm. And making sure that you are still getting in front of seniors on a consistent basis so that you can book them. For those who are brand new, right? For those who aren't in high school, right? Maybe they're a little bit older. They're starting not in high school. What are maybe one, two, three of the best ways that that we can start to do that? Hey, Raymond here. And I know that diving into the world of editing can feel like navigating a maze, especially if you're just starting out. So that's why I created our exclusive collection of 52 Lightroom presets, absolutely free. While presets can dramatically enhance your photos, they're not a one-click solution. They're a starting point for your creativity and an opportunity to learn and grow in your editing skills. These presets work seamlessly with all versions of Lightroom, whether you're on a computer or using Lightroom Mobile. And they're designed to simplify your editing process, adding that professional touch to your photos while giving you the flexibility to fine-tune them to your taste. So if you're ready to take your photos to the next level, head over to freephotographypresets.com right now and get editing today.
Yeah, great question. So I have always believed that specifically in the niche of senior photography, the best thing that you can do to start to get the word out there about your services is to infiltrate the senior market at the source. And what I mean by that is not trying to like shout from the rooftops, hey, I'm a senior photographer, and get people to start paying attention, but instead just put yourself in front of the people that you're wanting to book by reaching out to them first. So I was obviously it was very easy for me. It was low hanging fruit for me at the time because I was a senior in high school. But I believe there are so many ways for people to find seniors in their area, or even just connections to people that look like seniors or are sophomores or juniors, but somehow integrated in the high school, and offering them the opportunity to model for you for free. I know that's controversial because, again, we should all be paid for our time. But I really think that if you use those opportunities wisely and strategically, you won't be doing it for long. So I actually have a YouTube video where it's like 30 minutes long about how to work for free in a way that's actually going to push you forward and not be a waste of your time. But I, on Instagram, recommend trying to find some seniors in your area. And I know that sounds so creepy, but it doesn't have to be. You can search your local high school hashtags, geotags. You can even, well, I'll use that as way number two, but and reaching out to them on Instagram with a voice message even. So it just feels personal, but introducing yourself, saying, hey, I'm new to the area. Here's the reason that I'm looking for models, but I would just love to the opportunity to work with you for 30 minutes and get you some awesome senior photos. Blow them away with an amazing experience and beautiful images, and they'll post about them, and you will naturally start to gain the followers of their friends. And that ball just, it kind of gets the ball rolling a little bit by just infiltrating at the source, getting right into the high school by actually working with someone that goes to the high school. Option two is also something that I did that anybody can do, which is to photograph some sporting events at your local high school. I got the cheapest Zoom lens I could find and brought it to football games with me. And I photographed the games and the players, but I also photographed the student section, because there's always the student section of the bleachers where everybody's dressed up for whatever the theme is for the night. And then I would just make a massive gallery of those pictures and send them out to all my friends. And that can be super easy for you to do. You can pass out your business cards even and just ask people to email you, and you'll send them the link. And those photos will start circulating, and they'll be like, oh, who took that? That's a cool picture. And now all of a sudden your name is circulating. So one, reach out to a senior, offer them the opportunity to work with them. Option two, put yourself at the games, put yourself at the school, take pictures and create content for some of these seniors to get your name out there. Option number three is to start to network with businesses in your area where your seniors also shop. So for me, this was marketing networking with a lot of the local boutiques in downtown Fredericksburg, which is a very tiny town in Virginia. But I actually had an office space downtown in that kind of probably more like the newly full-time phase, or maybe a little before that. I had a studio space, and I would just regularly shop there and go home and post pictures of what I bought, or like post a picture in my dress and tag the place that I bought them from. They would repost that picture, and I knew that my seniors shopped there too and were following that boutique and now seeing me there. And that was actually how I got infiltrated into the Charleston market when I moved in 2019, was anytime I went to a coffee shop, a boutique, a cute restaurant, anywhere that I knew that my ideal clients were also hanging out, I would post those photos, share that content, and get reposted in front of an audience of thousands of people that were local to the Charleston market that followed that restaurant or coffee shop or boutique. And I started to build a following there through that. So those are my three favorite ways, like right now in 2023, to start kind of infiltrating yourself in the senior world.
That's perfect. There's that phrase, if you want to be interesting, you have to be interested, right? And What better way to show seniors that, you know, you're right for them than by showing them that you're interested in the same things that that they're interested in. So that is
totally a, love that quote. Yeah.
I hope people do that, because what's hard is that it's not just a soundbite. It requires work. You know, it's not like, how do I think about this? It's you actually have to do the thing. But if you don't do it, you don't get the reward. So that's great. I hope that people do that. So, okay, let's go ahead and move on to the master photographer phase of being a senior photographer. The full-time photographer is focused on marketing from a gear standpoint. They have upgraded their stuff. Maybe they have gotten into off-camera flash. I don't know maybe that's a personal choice.
Really up to a personal choice. Yeah.
Okay. So then from the next phase, that master photographer phase, what does that look like? Because from the full-time phase, That looks great, right? You got all the new gear. You're marketing. What comes next?
Yeah. So for me, this is kind of the phase that I felt like I am in now in terms of scaling, in terms of really focusing on my creativity and kind of revisiting some ways that I can continue to grow and scale my business. So for me, from a photography perspective, I think that the biggest struggle for a master photographer is almost going back to the beginning and forcing themselves to be creative again. And this feels like so advanced because it almost feels like that's the silliest issue I've ever heard. Like a beginner photographer listening to this is going to be like, that is a dumb struggle. Like, what do you mean by that? But when you've been doing the same thing for a decade, which is what I've been doing almost 11 years now, it can be so easy to get in a rut of everything you do looking the same. And we've talked so much about consistency that it's probably like, okay, yeah, but that's a great thing. And it is a great thing. But if you get burnt out of creativity and you stop enjoying the artistic and creative side of what you do, that's going to show in your work. And so almost fueling your creativity and finding ways to stay creative and work with new trends and kind of move, especially in the senior world, trends are big. Figuring out how your work can adapt to what's currently popular in the current generation of seniors and remaining creative and excited about your work is really the biggest challenge from a photography perspective. Because like you said, we've got the good gear, we've mastered our photography, you know, lighting, editing, we've got all that down to a science now. So now it's really a matter of, okay, I've got it down to a science, but how do I make sure that that science is still relevant and that that science is still exciting to me? So that's from a photography perspective, I think the biggest challenge. From a business
I want to stay there for just another moment. Yeah. Right now for you, what does that creative side look like? What is different about your images today than from a year ago?
Great question. I think for me, from a creativity perspective, like protecting my creativity and making sure that I'm only shooting when I want to shoot is a huge part of that for me. Like there are times I bring camera on vacation and there's times that I don't. And I just try to be really in tune with, is it going to burn me out to do this? Or is it going to be exciting for me to do this? Referring more to photography outside of work. And then from a more like practical perspective of what my work looks like now compared to what it used to. There's a lot of, in the senior world specifically, there's lots of trends and changes in the realm of posing, which we've talked so much about because, and I think that's so interesting because again, it's not something you really think of when you think of technical things, but in the world of seniors, there's lots of trends with posing and what's cool, what's not, what your friends are going to post on Instagram versus what they feel like is cheesy. And currently in 2023, one of the biggest trends is lots of movement in photos and photos that feel candid, like that you aren't even there. And the senior was just twirling down the street of Charleston and it was completely unprompted and unposed. Those are very, very popular right now. Anything that is like forced or even smiling directly at the camera sometimes feels too posed for the Gen Z seniors right now. And so that has been a super interesting shift in just my style of kind of how I approach senior sessions. So that to me is like the first thing that comes to mind in terms of like current senior trends.
Wow, man, that is so weird. Cause, man, when I think back to, when I was in high school, it was very much the look at the camera, smile, but still like kind of look relaxed and cool and maybe lean up against something, but,
totally.
It's totally different now. It's totally different.
It is.
But I guess you should expect that from everything. So, okay, let's, I appreciate you sharing that. Cause that is, I never would have thought about that. Okay. So from a business perspective, what struggles are you facing right now? What does it look like to be you?
Yeah. So I feel like the things that came to my mind were more the entrepreneurship angle at this point of, okay, we've closed the Apple Watch ring of like mastering our craft. We've created a business we're proud of. We have consistent bookings. So now it's a thought process of, okay, how can we diversify our offers? How can we create new streams of revenue? This is clearly the entrepreneur side of me coming out. But I think that side of things, you start to have time to think about that, really, is what it boils down to. It's like, okay, now my mind isn't taken up with mastering my camera, mastering my editing, figuring out work-life balance. Like now I have time to think about, okay, I'm making X amount of money, but how do I make more? Or how do I make more per session and automate a system for selling my prints and products? How do I automate my front end with AI? I mean, there's just so many things that you can do to streamline and scale and diversify your business once you hit the point where you have the mental capacity to get excited about it. And it's kind of that quote of like working on your business versus in your business. There's not much to do in your business anymore because it's all so consistent and streamlined. What can we do to work on it and grow it and scale it and diversify your revenue to become even more successful. If, and I think the big caveat here is, if you want to, like if you're making $100,000 as a photographer and you shooting 10, 15, 20 weddings a year, however many you want to, or 20 senior sessions a month, and you are content and you love what you do, this is an optional step for you. Like this does not have to be an option. But if you're a serial entrepreneur like me, or you want to be an educator, or you want to diversify your revenue, this is kind of that phase where I believe you have the capacity for that to begin to happen.
Let me just say that if you're making six figures with your photography, you're 60% better than the national average of other photographers. So like that's already
amazing.
A huge accomplishment right there. And I just want to take a moment because there are so many podcasts, there's so much education out there on like being that six figure photographer. And like, it's not the that's not the most common thing, right? Like that takes a lot of work.
Totally.
So
I
appreciate you saying that if you want to, because that already right there is one of the things that a lot of new photographers feel. You know, they want to be creative. They want to have this business, but they also want the time freedom, and they're not expecting to, I don't know, make seven figures, but six figures would be great. So that is wonderful.
And everyone's definition of success is so different. It's so different. And mine gets redefined every year, truly. And I've learned a lot about my definition of success is more tied to my freedom and my time and my ability to be present with my family than any monetary amount of money or success I could have from that side of things. And so I really think it's also figuring out what your own definition of success is and then stopping there and knowing that stopping there is completely acceptable, and probably the biggest win you could have is setting the boundary to stop there. So I just always, I think that's so important to mention. So I'm glad we hit on that.
Yeah, for sure. For sure. I want to touch on the importance of a CRM, because I know that you are a CloudSpot ambassador, and CloudSpot has released CloudSpot Studio.
So
let's just talk for a moment about the CRM side of senior photography. Yeah. When do we need to introduce a CRM?
So I think the sooner you can introduce something like this, the easier your life is going to be. I really think it's just a matter of when the expense makes sense for your specific business, which is going to be different for everybody. Some people a year in are going to be booking consistently enough that they can rationalize the expense. Some people that's going to take 2 or 3 years. Some people that might take 2 months. It's going to depend on what that value looks like for you in terms of like a time and organization and sanity perspective, in my opinion. I think a CRM just provides so much sanity and reassurance. And so for me, I had a CRM built into my business probably within a year of going full time. So I would say that that was an integral part of my experience within that first year of going full time, probably more like within 6 months, because I knew that I needed the organization of it.
Why can't we just use paper and a Google Calendar for everything? Why does that not work as well?
Yeah. So the number one reason I can think of is a selfish one, and it's just the matter of convenience and peace of mind. For me, again, I mentioned earlier, I'm a very anxious person. I'm the type of person that lays down to go to sleep and I'm like, did I lock the door? Is the oven on? I haven't even used it for a week, but I feel like I need to go check. So I'm the type of person that just that reassurance and level of knowing that like, everything I need to know is backed up in one place. Everything I need to know about my business is like, I can log in and just look at it in one kind of bird's eye view. That's invaluable to me and my mental sanity. So that's a huge one. It's just the convenience for myself of knowing that everything is streamlined and backed up in one place. And I'm not going to lose a piece of paper or a contract that my dog's going to eat or something like that. Second is the convenience for your client. I'm huge on this, especially in 2023. I really believe that if you make your customers jump through hoops to give you money, they're going to be annoyed with you. They don't want to have to mail you a physical check. They don't want to have to like fax you a contract. It is an inconvenience in 2023 for them to have to do that. People will do it. It's okay if that's what you're currently doing. But I do believe that it's an inconvenience to your customer. And the easier you can make the process for them, the more stoked they're going to be about giving you their money. And I just think that's a big win. And then third for me is professionalism. I really believe, you guys heard me talk about that earlier, in the power of like consistency and professionalism and things feeling elevated and my customers receiving like a digital contract that has my logo and is beautifully branded and is easy to use just feels like it's worth way more money from an experience perspective than having to fax me or mail me a physical printed contract. So convenience, peace of mind, and professionalism are the biggest things for me. I could go on, but those were the top three that I wrote.
Yeah, those are the big ones. And I have to say, if my son came home from school and said, "Dad, I need, you know, I don't know, $150 to give to this kid at school to take my photos," I'd be like, "What is going on here?" But if that person sent me some sort of link that I could look at and see some sort of package or contract and pay online, it would feel more elevated from a business perspective and definitely more professional. So that is such a good point right there.
It's totally a perceived value thing. It really is.
But still a value, right? So regardless. 100%. Regardless.
Yeah.
Well, Hope, I really appreciate you sharing everything that you have today. I know that it's going to help out a lot of listeners who are looking to get into senior photography. And I know that we talked about this before getting on, but we somehow didn't get to it. Where can we find more about you online?
Yeah. So Instagram is where I share most regularly, most real life. So you can follow me there. It's Hope Taylor Photography. And if you want to learn more from me, we actually recently started giving away a free month of my membership where you can watch me photograph an entire senior session from start to finish. So if you want all of this to kind of come full circle and actually see it in action, you get to see me working with a real client. It's actually a sunrise session on Rainbow Row in Charleston. It's super beautiful. You get to see all my camera settings, hear my real-time thoughts on lighting and location and family dynamics and outfits and wardrobe selection and why we shoot each thing, which place. And it's like a 2.5 hour shoot that you get to watch from start to finish. So super jam-packed content, totally free, just as my gift to you to say thanks for listening. So the link for that is in the show notes, probably?
It will absolutely be in the show notes. Awesome. For sure. Yes. Well, Hope, again, thank you so much for sharing everything that you did, because this is quite the masterclass of or maybe the masterclass, the roadmap masterclass for senior. That's way too long of a name, but I think everybody understands what it is. But all I'm trying to say here is thank you so much, Hope.
Yes, thank you for having me. This was wonderful. Such a great conversation, and I'm so glad to be here.
I really hope that you enjoyed that interview here with Hope Taylor. And what did I say? She just has this ability to kind of break down things in a very understandable way and approachable way as well. And I mean, you can just feel how excited she is to talk about this stuff. It's not, it's not something that she dreads doing. She genuinely is excited to talk about senior photography and to help you achieve your goals as a senior photographer as well. I had three main takeaways from this episode, as I always do. The first one was just kind of looking at your journey in terms of Apple Watch rings. She didn't really say this exactly, but this is what I took away from it. And it's, figuring out kind of where you're at, like taking an inventory of where you are today on your journey. And maybe you are a beginner, maybe you are a weekend warrior, but take inventory of where you're at, what feels like it's working, what feels like it's broken, what do you wish that you could, do better, and kind of use that as a metric to gauge, where you're at right now. And then also do the same thing to imagine what that next step is. And maybe it's to go full time. So figure out what do you have to do to get there, and then look at it almost as a challenge, as your Apple Watch rings. You know, maybe you'll need to upgrade your equipment or invest in a CRM or anything like that. And then attack it like that, because it is infectious to, if you've ever had an Apple Watch and you see those rings that, oh, I need to get my steps in. I need to, stand more. I got to close these rings today. And if you can do that for your business, just imagine what you will be able to accomplish in a short amount of time. The second one was the importance of having your pricing on a website, or more specifically, just having a place to have your information, like a website. When we are starting out, maybe Facebook or Instagram, in somebody's DMs is the easiest place to communicate with them and just to chat, because you don't really have anywhere to send them. But it does feel very casual. It doesn't feel very professional. And I can definitely see people using that as, a place to negotiate on price, whereas having it posted on a website, which doesn't get, updated at the frequency of social media, that's what it is. And there's no question about it. You either take it or you leave it. And that is going to build confidence. So try to get yourself some sort of website up, even if it is, even if it's a basic website. If you have something posted online, it is going to, you know, be more solid. And then last takeaway that I had was, how shooting for free, you can build your portfolio, how it's absolutely okay to shoot for free if you're doing it to get somewhere. You know, you're not shooting for free because you're doing it out of the kindness of your heart. And you just want everybody to have good photos because you're going to get burnt out. You're not going to have any time to do anything for yourself. There's always going to be somebody who wants more photos. There's always going to be more people to shoot. It's just not possible. But if you're using it in a way to grow your portfolio so that you can get to the point to where you can charge for your work, then that is a wonderful use of your time to shoot for free. And, the common complaint is that you're bringing down the industry if you're shooting for free. But honestly, the clients who are looking for a free photo shoot aren't, you're not stealing, them away from paid photographers, because they weren't going to pay them in the first place anyway. So, use this as experience to grow your skills and your portfolio so that you can move to a spot to where you're charging for your work. You're charging for your work well, and you're able to sustain yourself with your income in photography. So, again, everything that Hope mentioned in this episode, I'm going to put in the show notes where you can find her online. And also, we did talk about CloudSpot Studio a little bit. She had mentioned, the sooner that you can invest when it makes sense for you financially, the better. And like, if you heard my interview with Gavin a few weeks ago, Gavin Wade, the CEO of CloudSpot, you'll know that when I invested a number of years ago in 17 Hats, there was no option for any sort of free CRM. There was nothing that would help you do that. So you had to make that investment. But today, if you are getting started, CloudSpot Studio is included in your free CloudSpot account. So there is no reason to not sign up, just so that you can be more organized, just so that you can have a better peace of mind, just so that you can, put a more professional front in front of your clients, make them feel better, more secure. Right? There's no reason not to, because there's no financial, risk involved. So just do it. You can grab your free CloudSpot account by heading over to deliverphotos.com, and you will get access to CloudSpot Studio right away. So with that, thank you so much for listening to this episode of the podcast. Remember, the more that you shoot today, the better of a photographer you will be tomorrow. Talk soon.
Thank you for listening to the Beginner Photography Podcast. If you enjoy the show, consider leaving a review in iTunes. Keep shooting, and we'll see you next week.